Chapter 10, The Secrets Behind the Hidden Hut. Logan Slate approached a wooden hut surrounded by dense foliage and towering trees, which seemed to reach the sky. They could only hear the rustling of the leaves and occasional chirping of birds as they arrived at a small wooden hut in the middle of the forest, but not near any town. Luke asked in a confused tone, "Is this your home, Slate?"
"No, it isn't. I don't have a home. I visit it sometimes," Slate answered.
Slate dismounted from Sage, carrying food and water from the hay wagon. Slate approached the hut door and knocked on it. A man opened the door, revealing his rugged features. The man looked over 40 years old, with deep lines entrenched in his weathered face. He wore dirty, drunken, and faded black pants that had seen better days. The man's piercing brown eyes gazed out from beneath his thick brows, and he had dark chestnut hair. The most striking feature of his face was his wild beard. The man looked at Slate with severe gaze and asked, "Why are you here?" Slate grinned at him. "You know I am here." The man broke in a deep laugh, removing his serious face.
"Of course I do. Our doors are always open for you, Slate."
He pushed open the door and invited Slate into the house. Inside the hut, it was more spacious. A cozy living room area, small table and chairs, and a fireplace in the corner provided warmth and light. To the right was a small kitchenette. To the left were two bedrooms, each with a comfortable bed and small bedside table. At the back of the hut, there was a bathroom. Slate turned to Luke and shouted, "Boy, come here." The man smiled, came forward and looked at Luke. The man sighed with relief and then smiled again. "I thought you told me you don't have any children," Slate corrected him. "Huvnor, it's not my son. I saved him from his village. Curitan was attacked. I saved the boy, but sadly no one in the village survived." Huvnor remained silent for a second, with a pained expression before looking at Luke and saying,
"Come, boy. We will get you out of the terrible clothes. I'll ask Lauren to prepare your room. You can sit next to the dog. I hope you're not afraid of dogs, as I have a dog named Rex. Don't worry, he won't harm you. He may look scary, but he is a teddy bear."
Luke beamed when he heard there was a dog.
Luke quickly replied, "No, sir, I love dogs. I had two dogs, and I called them Cotton and Finn. Can I see Rex?"
Huvnor nodded and pointed towards where Rex was lying next to the fire. Luke quickly approached Rex, sat beside him, and patted Rex. Rex was a tiny cocker spaniel, glanced at Luke before laying his head on the ground. Huvnor then turned to Slate and hugged him, extending his invitation.
"Now, Slate, please come inside."
Slate grabbed Huvnor by the shoulders, directing him towards the hay wagon. "I have gifts for you. Would you give me a hand carrying them inside?" Slate asked, pointing to the bags at the end of the hay wagon. Huvnor nodded and walked towards the hay wagon, helping unpack Slate's things. Slate handed Huvnor a bag of food and a bag of coins. "That's for you," he said.
"Thank you. I appreciate it. You don't know how much we needed this, so thank you," Huvnor replied gratefully.
Slate and Huvnor entered the hut and sat on the stools beside the table. Huvnor asked Slate,
"Do you need a drink, ale or something?"
Huvnor's wife and Lauren walked out of the room. And Lauren looked like she was in her 40s, with long blonde hair and bright blue eyes. Her kind-hearted nature was evident in her smile and cheerful demeanour as she greeted Slate and Luke.
"Good evening, Slate. What's this handsome little boy's name?"
Slate responded, "He is called Luke," and Lauren seemed delighted.
"I'm happy to see you both. Now, please make yourself comfortable while I bring out my finest ale we've been saving for your return. It's been a while since we last saw you, Slate."
And Lauren turned to Luke and smiled sweetly.
"Now, little man, can I get you anything?"
Luke paused momentarily and said, "Any food would be nice." A yawn escaped Luke's mouth. And Lauren smiled.
"You seem tired. You can rest in the bedroom on the left if you like."
Luke smiled and said, "Thank you," before heading to the bedroom. Once Luke had gone to get some rest, the three friends sat in the living area. And Lauren asked Slate,
"Do you want anything to drink?"
Slate replied cheerfully, "Yes, please. Any ale will do. Your ale is always the highest quality." Lauren nodded and went to get it, and Slate sat down. Slate sighed with relief
finally sitting on something comfortable besides the rocky ground or Sage's saddle, Alorn returned with ale and sat beside Hufnor across the table from Slate. Slate asks Alorn, I am wondering if there's anything you can do to Sage's saddle so it doesn't feel like I'm sitting on stones all the time. Alorn laughed.
Of course. Let me look at it tomorrow. I say I can make something or at least improve it a bit.
Alorn continued. So, how'd you come across the boy? And why'd you bring him here with you?
Knowing you, I know it wasn't your decision. You barely hold a child, so taking care of a boy is not something I can imagine.
Slate looked at Lauren and Hufnor deeply before speaking. Yes, you're right. Slate paused momentarily, taking a deep breath before continuing. I went to Veriten, where I thought Love would be safe and grow up, and would be cared for. Slate leaned forward, but the boy refused to stay there and snuck onto the back of my hay wagon. I only found him a few hours ago. Slate sat back on his chair, his arms folded. I was going to bring him back, but I saw how scared he was of the people in the village because he overheard them talking about trying to get rid of him. Slate's voice grew louder. Even though I threatened those little weasels, I would kill them if anything happened to him. Slate's voice slowed down a bit as he spoke the following words, his gaze falling on the table. But when I saw how scared he was, he begged me to let him stay and said he felt safe with me and no one else, knowing he had gone through so much. I didn't want to be another person who left him and made him feel more scared than he was. How could I leave him knowing there was truth to what he was saying? Slate looked up, meeting Lauren's eyes. You know how cruel and desperate people can be when they feel threatened. Hufnor grunted. I know how people can be all too well. And he drank his ale in one full gulp this time. Hufnor asked, so Slate, now that you're stuck with a boy, what is your plans with him? If he stays with me, I must ensure he learns to protect himself. He won't last long otherwise. Slate sounded firm. Slate continued, first, I must go to Ah Tabal. The place makes the lightest but highly protective armour and weapons. I know I'd have to get armour for the boy and a smaller sword. The skinny boy can barely hold a sword, never mind swing it. Once we get there, I'll train him. And then after that, I'm not too sure. Alorn laughed. You didn't fully answer my question. How'd you come across the boy in the first place? Slate sighed. I visited the town of Curatan to stock up on supplies. I saw Loke and his parents when I was there. On my last visit when I left, I heard screams from the village and rushed back to see what happened. Slate continued. Once I got there was only silence. The screams had stopped, and all I saw were the remains of the villagers. Slate clenched his fist. If I stayed in that village longer, maybe I could have prevented the attack and saved Loke's parents. Slate continued with a heavy heart. The poor boy has no one left. He was so frightened that he wouldn't come out from under the kitchen table. Slate paused for a moment, the memory still fresh in his mind. He was so scared that he even bit me when I tried to help him. Hufnor spoke softly. Why did you live near that village? Slate's jaw tensed, his voice low, filled with anger. The Skalnas that slaughtered the town was the same one I had been hunting for years after it killed my beloved wife, Solacin. It took everything away from me. Slate took a deep breath, trying to calm himself before continuing. And it did the same thing to Loke. But it can't hurt anyone else now. Slate's gaze dropped to the table, his voice quiet and solemn as he explained. I found the creature's trail while I was on pilgrimage to lay flowers to my wife's resting place. The flowers were her favourite and I wanted to honour her memory. Slate paused for a moment before looking up at Lauren and Hufnor. That is why I was there. Hufnor inquired, are you certain Loke's parents are dead? Did either you or Loke see their bodies? Slate shook his head somberly. I saw them. Fortunately, the darkness shielded Loke's sight, allowing me to lead Loke away before he could see them. Hufnor pressed, did you inform Loke of what you saw? Slate responded with a shake of his head. Hufnor advised, you should tell him eventually. Slate exhaled deeply. I will if he brings it up again. I did mention to him that I believe they're gone. The silence that follows was heavy with grief, but it was broken by Hoofnagel's hand reaching over to pat Slate's shoulder. Hoofnagel's sympathetic gaze met Slate's, offering comfort without words. After a few seconds, Hoofnagel withdrew his hand and picked up his ale again. "How long do you plan on staying here?" Hoofnagel asked. "You know you can stay here as long as you need, my friend."
"Thank you," Slate replied, his voice still heavy with emotion.
"We won't be staying long. Just a few days to rest and heal my wound. And then we'll go to Atanaval." Aloran got up and said, "I will get some water from the well. I'll be back in a minute." And she walked out. Hoofnagel's gaze hardened as he spoke.
"I heard terrible rumours about you, Slate, before we crossed paths. You did terrible things. The things I hope the boy will never know or see."
Slate's expression remained neutral as he responded, "You know me better now. Have I ever done anything to harm you and your family?" Slate leaned back in the chair, folding his arms across his chest. "Many people tell lies to make themselves feel better. Or maybe it's their way of manipulating people. I have encountered many terrible people who have done unspeakable things, more horrible than most monsters I have ever encountered." Slate paused, taking a bite from bread on the table, before continuing, "At least with a monster, I know they will try to kill me if we cross paths. So I know to avoid those paths and be prepared to defend when they attack. However, it's much more dangerous with people, as I don't know their true intentions. Are they friends or foe?" Slate gazed, locked on Hoofnagel, his tongue firm. "But I assure you, I will do nothing to harm you and your family. You have my word." Slate munched on the food before he continued. "There are many times I would hear a scream from a child calling for help. When I arrived to help the child in need, I would get ambushed. I would defend myself, and the woman would go back to the village and shout that I killed her people, which unfortunately is true. But she would leave out the part that I was ambushed. In reality, they probably came across and killed more people than I have," Slate explained. "There's only a few people I can trust. You know this to be true. Therefore, you live in the middle of the forest, away from people, rather than in a village." Slate turned to Hoofnagel and looked around the room frantically. "Where's your child?" Hoofnagel chuckled. "She's quite quiet, isn't she? A lone part of the bed, just before you arrived. Sometimes I forget she's even in the same room with us, because she rarely makes a sound." Slate chuckled and joked. "I remember when you used to be so groomed. You always brushed your hair and even plaited your beard." Hoofnagel smiled and said, "Ha! It was because my daughter Lily wanted to be a Grugener. I believe that is a hairdresser. Anyway, I'll never forget the day when I asked her if she would cut Aloran's hair instead of mine. She turned to me and crossed her arms and pouted." Hoofnagel crossed his arms and trying to mimic Lily's expression and said in childlike voice,
"No, Daddy, you are more of a project."
Hoofnagel and Slate laughed heartily, and Hoofnagel continued, "Thankfully, she was a oblivious child back then, and didn't realise I had given her blunt scissors, otherwise I would have been bald if they were sharper." Slate raised his eyebrow, smirking slightly. "Do you remember a time you never wanted children?" Hoofnagel nodded. "Yes, I remember. I was young, and I had never met a woman like Lauren before. I didn't know what love truly felt like, even though I thought I did. But as time passed, Lauren and I fell more in love than ever, and we knew we wanted to start a family." Hoofnagel scanned the area. "Did you see Lauren come back inside?" Slate's expression changed from relaxed to alert as he thought monotonely. "No," Slate shouted, getting up from his seat. Hoofnagel followed suit and they hurried towards the well. "Aloran, Aloran," Hoofnagel shouted, but there was no answer. Their hearts pounding, they quickened their pace. Approaching the well behind the hut, Slate and Hoofnagel saw Aloran lying motionless on the ground. Slate quickly checked her pulse and let out a sigh of relief. "She's alive, just unconscious," he said to Hoofnagel. Hoofnagel let out a grateful breath. "Thank God." Slate looked around the well and heard Aloran moaning softly. Hoofnagel picked her up, carrying her back into the house, laying her on the couch. Slate followed, and Hufnor sat beside Aloran, waiting for her to wake up. When Aloran finally regained consciousness, she cried in horror.
"My baby! My baby! I couldn't save her! Why did she go into the forest alone? Why?"
Hufnor rushed to her side, cradling her in his arms. "What do you mean? Our child is okay, fast asleep. Do you remember putting her to bed? You just had a nightmare, that is all."
Aloran stared in terror behind Slate as she attempted to stand up and shouted, "Run! The monster is behind you!" Slate quickly turned to look, but there was nothing there. Slate gently forced Aloran back onto the couch. "You are hallucinating. What happened after you left this room? Please try to remember, it's important," Slate said. Aloran stammered,
I remember walking to the well to get some water. And I got the book and put it in the well. And then I sat down briefly and drank some water. And collapsed to the ground. When I woke up, I heard a child scream coming from the forest. And I ran towards the noise, and then I saw..."
Aloran's wails grew louder as she continued.
"I saw a baby girl. I couldn't save her. I can't believe she's gone. My poor baby. My poor baby."
Hufnor hugged Aloran, trying to calm her down. "Everything is fine. She is alive. You just had a nightmare," he whispered. Hufnor then looked at Slate with concern. Slate quickly got up with his sword and said, "I need to go to the well and figure out what happened." Hufnor nodded briskly. When Slate got to the well, he looked around and smelled the bucket. The water smelled strange, and inside the well, the water looked a lot darker than usual. Slate looked around closer and saw fungi on the side of the well. The mushroom was a rare species, which shouldn't have been there. Slate walked back into the hut to get a bottle. Slate poured the leftover tainted water into the bottle, closed the lid, and attached it to the side of his belt. Slate rushed back in the house and looked at Hufnor, who stared back. And Slate signaled him to join him in the corner by tilting his head to the left. Hufnor nodded and gently tucked Aloran under the covers of the couch as he got up slowly. Hufnor then walked towards Slate, who grabbed him by the shoulders and whispered, "We must leave here. It's not safe. I think someone poisoned her with some mushroom or other plant. I don't know if it's fatal. So, now we must go to a botanist and get more information and find a cure." Then Loke walked into the room, saw Aloran lying on the couch, and looked straight at Slate. "Is she okay?" Loke asked. Slate walked up to Loke, lowered himself, grabbed Loke by the shoulders.
"She is unwell, and we must bring her to the botanist. We need to leave now, so please gather your things."
Loke nodded silently and walked back into his room to gather his items. Hufnor went into another room and returned with Lily in his hands. When Loke walked into the room, Hufnor turned to Loke and said, "Can you grab my bags from over there on the left and put them in the hay wagon?" Loke nodded, grabbed Hufnor's bags and went to the hay wagon. Loke left Hufnor's bags and returned to get his bag and put it in the hay wagon. Slate carefully lifted Aloran into his arms and placed her in the hay wagon. Loke sat beside her while Hufnor and Lily took a seat. Rex followed and jumped onto the hay wagon, sitting next to Hufnor and Lily. Slate mounted Sage and led the way towards the nearest town. As they journeyed towards the nearest town, Hufnor's daughter was a dainty 11-year-old girl with striking blue eyes and blonde hair. Despite her age, she had a sweet, childlike appearance that made her seem younger than she was. Lily turned to Aloran, lying unconscious on the hay wagon wooden floor, and then looked back at her father.
"What's wrong with Mother? Will she be okay?" she asked, her voice quivering with a sniffle.
Hufnor hugged Lily tight and softly said, "Don't be sad. Your mother is just sleeping. We are taking her to a botanist who will give her medicine to make her feel better. She'll be fine, my dear." Lily put her head on Hufnor's chest and Loke looked at Lily, a sad sigh escaping his mouth. Lily got more upset and was on the verge of tears until Loke chimed in.
"Come, sit next to me. Please, keep me company. I'm awfully bored."
She nodded and crawled towards Loke. Loke tried to lighten her mood in a cheerful tone.
"Now, let's play a game."
Lily looked at Loke.
What type of game?
Luke replied, I'm going to look around for an object. You need to guess what object I chose. The only clue I'll give you is the first letter of the name of that object.
Lily smiled a little as she got ready for the game.
Okay, I'll go first. Luke looked around briefly and continued. The first letter is T.
Lily looked around, exclaiming, Is it a tree?
Luke smiled. You are a smart young lady.
Yes, it is a tree. And it's your go.
Lily cheered up a bit and started to look around.
With her tiny hand lightly clenched on the side of her right chin, she thought hard and finally said, The first letter is R. Luke began guessing what it might be. In the meantime, Slate turned around to check on Hufnor and Lauren and saw Luke was playing with Lily, trying to keep her occupied. Slate smiled and then turned back to focus on the journey ahead.